Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Mitchell, 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour in the Elvin, Texas. Today is June 4, 2024, or it is the 28th day of Sivan, 2028. We will start our first service today for the song.
I am blind for Yahweh, heard God's voice, and it told of love to me. But I long to reckon the answer fit and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me again in the blessed young to the cross with love died. Draw me again in the blessed young to the precious bleeding sign. Consecrate me now to the service young for the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with the steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Show me near, blessed young, to the cross with us die. Show me near, blessed young, to the precious bleeding sign. Oh, the pure delight of the single love that before that throne I stand. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, Maria, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me near, blessed young, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, blessed young, to the precious bleeding sign. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross a narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me near, blessed young, to cross with the sky. Draw me near, blessed young, to the precious bleeding sign.
And then we're going to a regular study, Why Perish, that's his track. Number 6, Beat Your Heart. We're on part 2. This is part 2 of summary, around page 24, summary of Zechariah chapter 4. That's what we're going to do, our study. We're on let's begin now part 2 of Why Perish, so track number 6, second part. Summary of Zechariah chapter 4, for the symbolic unit, having demonstrated that the Bible can be rightly interpreted only by the Spirit that dictated it, shows that the church can be led into all the truth only by the Spirit-controlled method through the interpreters, the two golden pipes, who alone are qualified and able to bring forth meat in the due season, the golden oil, from the scriptures, olive trees, into the storehouse, the golden bowl of the present truth, and in turn to the ministers, the seven tubes, who alone are to pass on from the bow to all of the church. This is the candlestick, which represents the church, that it might illumine with the light of life this dark and dying world of ours. Here in the pictorial lesson, Yahweh is unmistakably teaching that he controls the scriptures and that he reveals them when a need arises, just as Joseph controlled all the grain in the storehouses of ancient Egypt to hand it out in the time of the famine, and as only through him could the Israelites as well as the Egyptians obtain grain in the time of the want. So likewise, only from the Yahshua the King, through his spirit-filled instrumentality, that's through Joseph of the day, his specially appointed interpreters of the dreams and the visions which the Bible contains, whether they be to rebuke and enlighten the church or to forewarn the Gentiles, can we obtain the oil which Yahweh has placed in the Bible. And the revealing seed is Zechariah's symbolism, the inspired method of the interpretation of the scripture Yahweh has graphically prescribed for the present day multifarious religious ills, heaven-specific remedies for the many, for the grievous spiritual epidemics now afflicting the Christian church, are caused in large part by the Christians unwittingly resting, troubling, and perverting the scriptures. By this practice, the devil has spawned and nurtured in order to head off the present truth, destroy faith in the scriptures, deceive souls, and increase infidelity, hoping thereby to cut off the human race from the knowledge of the only true and living Yahweh, and thus finally from the face of the earth. Brother, sister, upon each of us squarely falls a momentous responsibility of deciding whether we will choose to follow the prophets of Yahweh and both the Old and New Testament period, or to join Yahweh's adversaries who advocate uninspired interpretations of the scriptures, and who, along with all of their sympathizers, will, if they continue in their evil course, become guilty with the Jews of the shed blood of the prophets. For these solemn considerations will impel all who are honest with themselves and with the Yahweh to act in accordance with the solemn verity that he reveals the truth as he chooses, for they will lead you to take Yahweh's way for your shelter and thus escape the swiftly gathering storm that is about to burst in all its dread fury upon sin and sinners. for seeing the dark color of the confusion, for spending the day or chasing over the Bible, and their wide departure from the plain scriptural path as a result of their utter disregard of the gift of the prophecy. Yahweh is therefore morally bound to make in his written word some sort of a prophetic announcement of this great evil and its outcome, just as he did concerning calamitous fate which befell his ancient people and concerning their subsequent destiny. For the demonstration of this, let us now, with the special reference for the gift of the prophecy, this office, and its relation to the ministers as well as to the laity in the New Testament period, examine as to how the universal day enables patrons to refuse evil and choose good. Therefore, the Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Isaiah 7:14-15. It is agreed that the child here spoken of prophetically is the Yahshua, and according unto these verses, he was prescribed as a special guide, as was John the Baptist, Luke 1:15, Matthew 3:4. Yet there is no record showing that the Yahshua's diet was ever of the literal butter and honey. There is a record, though, that he did eat of all the sanctified foods that were commonly used by the Jews in his time. And John came, said the Yahshua, neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. Matthew 11:18. Thus, on the word of Yahweh himself, John did not eat everything that the Jews ate. As a matter of fact, he lived on the locust and wild honey. Mark 1:6. Nevertheless, the Jews found fault and accused him of being fanatical and out of his mind. On the other hand, the Son of Man says to Yahweh of himself, says he came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man, or actually says, on the other hand, the Son of Man says to Yahshua of himself, came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, and a wine bibber, a friend of the publicans and sinners, Matthew 11:19. And these words showing that he ate whatever lawful food was set before him, Yahshua makes clear that he did not confine his diet unto the literal butter and honey. As aforementioned, or as aforestated, there is no record showing that Yahshua ate actual butter and honey. But as the prophet's utterance must be correct, the only conclusion possible is that the butter and honey are symbolical of the something which Yahshua freely used and which made him wise and able to discriminate between good and evil, insomuch moreover as these two literal articles of food, butter and honey, can never in themselves enable anyone to know the difference between good and bad. It therefore becomes doubly subtle that they are symbolical, and that this certitude evokes the question of what are they symbolical. For the only way to discover what the butter and honey represent is to determine what enabled Yahshua to differentiate between good and evil, and to choose the one and refuse the other. The reason for his eating of them, for the Savior defeated the powers of the evil by being inspired to interpret the scriptures, which enables him to say it is written. This reveals that the bread and honey which empowered him to refuse the evil and to choose the good are symbolical of the scriptures. Thus, when he said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of," John 4:32, he must have referred to Isaiah's butter and honey. "It shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. It shall come to pass for the abundance of the milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land." Isaiah 7:21-22. Since the butter and honey at verse 15 are obviously intended for the providing of the key of the interpretation for the butter and for the honey of the verse 22. Finally, then, the butter and honey of both verses represent the word of the Yahweh, and because of the sequential and natural connection with the butter, we are next led to inquire into the meaning of the young cow and the two sheep. As butter is churned from the milk, and as the milk from which this spiritual butter is made comes from the two sheep and the young cow, the truth flows forth that these three milk-producing creatures symbolize three different sources from which the word of the Yahweh, the butter, is obtained. The cow is young, the sheep are not. Accordingly, the source of the butter, Yahweh, is that word, represented by the young cow, is of the latter origin, and the source is represented by the two sheep. For the two of a kind, therefore, can only represent the Old and the New Testament scriptures, whereas a cow, being larger and younger than the sheep, represents sacred volumes of the correspondingly larger proportions and of the latter origin than the Bible. These writings manifestly are the latter-day writings of the spirit of the prophecy, Revelation 19:10, that enables their patrons to refuse the evil and choose the good, and which brings unto them the honey. for the key of the interpretation to this honey is found in the Revelation 10:10. And I'll take the little book, says John, out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth, sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. This honey sweetness was explained in the detail in our chart number 5, final warning, represents the joy that came to the believers in the William Miller's time through their wholehearted belief that the Yahshua was coming in the fall of 1843 A.D. To take them to their home and the land that is very far off, where their eyes would see the King and His beauty, Isaiah 33:17. But as the day passed and the expected event failed to materialize, then overwhelmingly disappointment, as depicted by the little books turning bitter, came to everyone who, in the honest expectancy, yearningly anticipated that long hoped for journey through the starry heaven and to the city forced for a capital of the earth made new. For the honey sweetness of the Revelation 10:10, standing as it does for the great joy resulting from the feasting on the word of Yahweh, automatically imparts to the honey of Isaiah 7:22 the significance of the joy that shall come unto all who join in the eating of the butter and both the cow and the sheep, which shall now come fresh. Only those who so do shall be left in the land. For this cordial invitation to eat of the spiritual butter and honey, hitherto never paralleled in the quantity or quality, is especially extended unto those who are inclined to doubt. Accept this unprecedented invitation, my brethren, and you will convince yourself of the sincerity and judgment which prompts our plea, and will realize the first taste that the product from these noble creatures is all that you need to keep you not only alive and well, but also in the joy and peace from henceforth and forever. And though there is an innumerable multitude to be fed, you need not fear a shortage of the food, for the universal dairy has a world of butter producing milk. For these noble creatures give such a volume of milk that we are compelled to separate the cream and are able to dispense only it. The milk we preserve this plentitude. This speaks our being blessed with such a fullness of the truth milk that all we can do is to send out the high point, the butter or cream, reveal truth never before having amassed itself into such an inexhaustible store as it has today. Complete the evidence that the interpretation of this prophecy is correct, and that the shepherd's rod, which contains the truth this time, has caused the land to flow with the milk and honey. When Yahweh promised to lead ancient Israel into a land flowing with the milk and honey, such a condition did not literally obtain in the Canaan. So the expression could only have been metaphorical then, finding its fulfillment in the fact that the prophets did prophesy and write the scriptures, thus flooding the land with milk and honey, truth and joy. Why stay hungry, my brother, when there is such a boundless supply of soul-nourishing food at your very hand? If your appetite has not become too jaded, come then and feed on this fresh butter and honey. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price, Isaiah 55:1. But if, perchance, you have lost your hunger and your taste for the truth, call then upon our dispensing representatives. Their services are free of charge and without obligation, and guarantee sure and gratifying results. Do not be like those who still persist in the boasting that they have all the truth and have need of nothing, for the reason that the Yahweh has sent and is still sending such a store of meat in due season is to demonstrate that instead of having need of nothing, they have need of everything, and that it is their abomination and spiritual destruction, which have caused
destitution.
Or destitution which has caused them, which have caused him to leave his vineyard desolate. And it shall come to pass in that day that every shall be for 1,000 vines and 1,000 silverlings, it shall even be for the briars and thorns, Isaiah 7:23. For the fact that this vineyard, figurative of the church, Isaiah 5:7, wherein each vine was once worth a silverling, has become a place for briars and thorns, shows that its husbandman has left it desolate, a type condition which the Yahshua more fully projected in the following words. O Jeremiah, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chicken under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Matthew 23:37-38. That is, it has become a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For the integrity and perpetuity of the spirit of the prophecy, now being unquestionable, it morally compels us to introduce Yahshua's own testimony concerning the spiritual condition of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination as recorded by the spirit of the prophecy. Can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up their defilement and rottenness of their character? How is the faithful city, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, become a harlot? Our Father's house, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is made a house of the merchandise. As a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this, of course, there is weakness and strength is lacking. Testimonies, Volume 8, page 250. But as his vision perfectly corroborates the afore opponent testimony, both prophets could not possibly have said by the same spirit they opened the same condition with such absolute fidelity to the fact. Thus, by the scripture and by the logic, we are carried to the peak of the evidence and of the conviction that Mrs. White was inspired by the same spirit as was the Isaiah. For the noteworthy fact that both prophets Isaiah and Mrs. White are in such accord with each other as to the exact condition the church is now, or is in now, lends twofold concurrence in the indictment that the house of the Yahweh has not only become a house of the merchandise and a den of the thief, but also a place for the casting out of the saints. With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns, Isaiah 7:24. In other words, the vineyard has become so desolate and so overrun with the wild beasts, unconverted men, that if a saint would go into it, he would be compelled to carry with him arrows and bows, the word of Yahweh, for self-protection, Hebrews 4:12. But his bow abode in the strength, and his arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty Yahweh of the Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, Genesis 49:24. Thy bow was made quite naked, even thy word, Habakkuk 3:9. And this, instead therefore of the church being a refuge, holding out salvation for Yahweh's people, it has become a den of the thieves and a place for the shelter of sinners, for sin as one is seen giving heed unto the Yahshua's protest against the abominations and identifies himself as a reformer. The wild beast, the unconverted in the church, and especially at Gilead Center in 2002, starting with the leader, Brother Freddie Johnson, are either ready to devour him, and that was antitypical Elijah that was sent unto them, Elijah David, as they tried to devour Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:32, or else to drive him out of the church assemblies. Here anyone may readily see, while those who are responsible for the abomination are vociferously decrying the doctrine of a pure church, We need not be surprised at the opposition that the Yahweh's servants are receiving from the men of the learning and position, for thus it has always been, and now as in the former ages, the presentation of a truth that reproves sins and corrects errors will excite opposition. Everyone that doeth evil says that Yahshua hateth the light. Now that cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. John 3:20. As men see that they cannot by the scriptures maintain their possession. They determined to vindicate it at whatever cost, and that is the final resort of a lost cause. They indulge in the personalities assailing the character and the motives of those who cross their path. But the unpopular truth, such self-justification is the same traditional defense mechanism which has been resorted to in all ages. For Elijah was declared to be a troubler in Israel, Jeremiah a traitor, Paul a polluter of the temple. From that day to this, those who would be loyal unto the truth have been denounced as seditious, satirical, or schismatic. More truths who are too unbelieving to accept the sure word of the prophecy will receive with the unquestioning credulity an accusation against those who dare reprove fashionable sin. This spirit will increase more and more. The Great Controversy, page 458 and 459. Those who differed from the established doctrines have been imprisoned, put to torture and to death at the instigation of men who claim to be acting with the ascension of the Yeshua. But it is the spirit of the Satan, not the spirit of the Yeshua, that inspires such acts. This is Satan's own method of the bringing the world under his dominion. But Yahweh has been misrepresented through the church by this way of the dealing with those supposed to be heretics. That's his object lesson, page 74. Hear the word of the Yahweh, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Yahshua be glorified, that he shall appear in your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Isaiah 66:5. He says, and now because of this shall we who have the light of the truth betray our trust and shun our responsibility to the servant of the Yahweh at this time is a command addressed. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. And now, because of this, shall we who have the light of the truth betray our trust and shun our responsibility? For the servant of the Yahweh at this time is the command addressed. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. So far as his opportunities extend, everyone who has received the light of the truth is with the same solemn and fearful responsibility as was the prophet of the Israel, unto whom the word of the Yahweh came, saying, Son of man, I have set thee as a watchman unto the house of the Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of at my mouth, and warn them from me. And I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood that I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, as thou hast delivered thy soul. This is what took place at Plymouth, shown at the Passover 2002. For the great obstacle both unto the acceptance and for the promulgation of the truth is with the fact that it involves inconvenience and reproach. For this is the only argument against the truth that its advocates have never been able to refute. That this does not deter the true followers of the Yahshua, for these do not wait for the truth to become popular. Being convinced of their duty, they deliberately accept the cross with the Apostle Paul counting that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us as a far more exceeding and eternal weight of the glory, with one of the old, esteeming the reproach of the Asir greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, the great controversy 459 and 60. Because of this deplorable condition, Yahweh now commissions his messengers to go with their bows and arrows and occupy faithfully the post of the duty until the vineyard is fully restored. And on all hills that shall be digged with the mattock, they shall not consider the fear of the briars and thorn, Isaiah 7:25. That is to say, though the whole vineyard has become full of the briars and thorns, Yahweh has not forever forsaken it, but will dig it with a mattock, uproot the thorns and briars, and plant it once again with the choicest vine. For upon it that he bestows his supreme regard, Testimonies to the Ministry, page 15. And after he executes this verse, the fear of the briars and thorns shall not consider. Or literally speaking, during the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, starting with the first priest harvest of 144,000, with Yahshua having come back from heaven, having taken the reins in his own hand, standing with the 144,000, he does the harvest personally himself out there in his shirt. That's Ezekiel 9. He used it to do that with. Yahweh's vengeance takes the wicked from among his people, and thereafter seeks them out and preserves his church pure forevermore, without the fear of it ever becoming polluted again. And thus absolutely uprooting the briars and thorns of wicked, he proves even the fear of their returning, as his vision truly focuses on our time, for the wicked have always been in the church and will continue to be there until the final purification, which is soon to take place, and which, according unto the scriptures, is in its beginning to be as the mustard seed. There shall not come hither the fear of the briars and the thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of the oxen, and for the treading of the lesser cattle, Isaiah 7:25, last part. For the vineyards being digged with the mattock signifies that the beginning of the work of the Reformation will progress slowly and that it will require hard labor, but that each hill or church locality being digged will become a place for the sending forth of the oxen and the brief at this particular time, he will be sending missionaries into his neglected vineyards, the Adventist Church, instead of into the Gentile world. Though the work, moreover, is to have a small, hard, Maddox-like beginning, it will gain speed and will emerge from the Maddox stage into the Ox-Plow stage, the stage which will see all the believers of the present truth, except the lesser cattle, unitedly go forth to dig or plow other hills until all the thorns and briars shall be uprooted. Throughout the land, the ground broken up and the vineyard restored, even beyond its original excellency, thus reclaimed, it will be a place not only for the sending forth of the oxen, missionaries, but also for the treading of the lesser cattle. Both the terms treading and lesser cattle have two meanings. Treading means both to step along and to trample something beneath the feet. Lesser cattle means both younger cattle and inferior cattle. Therefore, the phrase for the treading of the lesser cattle, taken in the light of the first meaning, respectively of each of the two terms, must refer to the children and to those newly come to the truth who may be staying, treading about the newly digged hill. Taken in the light of the second meaning of each term, it must refer to the person or trampling, to the ground of all the unconverted who may seek to come into the vineyard. Okay. As this latter says, that's what I said, and it shall come to pass when they shall yet prophesy. Then his father and his mother that beget him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Yahshua, and his father and his mother that beget him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. Zechariah 13:3. For the direct application of the scripture, however, is unto the latter pair of the meanings, and only a secondary thought is that obtained from the former pair of the meaning. This final view of the vineyard compels men to choose either a glorious future or an inglorious end. Our hope is that each will choose the glorious future. Because when he finally restores his vineyard, the Yahshua will never more desert it or permit it to be fouled by the briars and the thorns. Man's joy should be unbounded, causing him to praise Yahweh by the day and by night for his never failing love. Still more thrilling is the thought that a multitude is now on the very stage of the passing from this mortal state into the immortality, never to experience the unconscious state of the dead. May this call their every reader.
May this call
stir every reader from his long slumber, Matthew 25:5, and urge him to strive as never before for the mark of the living Yahweh, Ezekiel 9:4. Awake, awake, feed the voice of the Lord, put on our strength, O Zion.
put on that beautiful garment so Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Isaiah 52:1. Be in the class of the five wise virgins, my brethren, and avail yourselves of this extra oil now before your lamps go out, and the door closes forever. Matthew 25:10. Anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, that thou mayest see. Revelation 3:18. A sigh and cry for the abomination that be done in the church, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Ezekiel 9:4. That ye may prove yourselves worthy to carry the message unto her. Then after you have cried out, O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. Nahum 1:15, last part. It shall be said of you, behold your this mountain, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, Nahum 1:15, first part. And you will be spared through the butter and honey, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land, Isaiah 7:22. Oh, what a soul-stirring assurance! Why should you perish when your heavenly Father is making such an offer? Believe fully in the spirit of the prophecy and live forever. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper, 2 Corinthians 20:20. Have you not yet discovered that, whether it be in the ancient or in the modern times, all the Bible truths that men have ever learned have come only through the inspired channel, the spirit of prophecy? How then, my brethren, can you longer refuse this cordial invitation? Come eat to the full of the butter and honey, only a taste of which will start you on your way for the recovering of your miserable Laodicean condition. Though the church is now lukewarm, satisfied in her sad deception, yet if she lets this present opportunity slip from her grasp, the day will come when each member will gnash with his teeth in the torment of the undescribable sorrow, yea, and all who deny either the Old or the New Testament Scriptures or the spirit of prophecy, for all these and who, by the remaining in their consequent ignorance, comply not with the truth's requirements, shall not be left, but shall perish. But the Yahshua as the creator of the universe, let's do it again. For the Yahshua as the co-creator of the universe, according to Hebrews 1:1-3, and John 1:3, and Hebrews 1:2, humbled himself by the believing in all of the writings of the prophets, then why should men not too? Are they greater than he? Will you be among those unto whom he says, O fool, and slow of the heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Luke 24:25. If Yahshua himself ate butter and honey in order for the refusing of the evil and choosing the good, how then can you expect to learn what is right and what is wrong of you? If you close your eyes, lest you see, and stop your ears lest you hear, and thus remain in the utter ignorance of his will, but after eating of his butter and honey, will not your righteousness be as but the filthy rags of the self-righteousness? Isaiah 64, come, my brethren, while there is an abundance of the butter for your upkeep, a honey to make you glad, and a golden bowl full of the oil to make you shine. Why any longer languish in the darkness, starving on the husk when the Yahweh bids you become friends with his young cow and his two sheep? And after all, you need for your own sake, not for theirs, to feed on their butter. So come, get it, for says the Yahshua, a man shall nourish them. Here the Yahshua tells us that the milking of the two sheep and the young cow, the unfolding of the heaven-sent scrolls, is not entrusted unto all, but unto a man, prophet. This means that the one through whom the light is revealed nourishes these sources of the supply by the arousing, widespread interest in them, thus keeping them alive and producing and each one who would remain in the land must give them his steady patronage and be on the alert for the interest of the others and the lasting life-giving product, knowing that some would deny the Old Testament and others the New Testament scriptures. Wise scriptures also, that still others would doubt the spirit of the prophecy. Yahweh therefore calls attention unto all three, the figure, a young cow and two sheep, unique in their milk-producing ability, make clear that their product can sustain life for eternity, and that to the man who nourishes them are the saints to go for their butter. Then they shall know the difference between the spirit of the prophecy and its counterfeits. Okay. For the spirit of the prophecy and its counterfeits. One may say, yes, I believe in the spirit of prophecy, but not as you do. Yet, if what he believes to be the spirit of the prophecy does not lead him to keep the commandments of Yahweh and to know that the testimony of the Yahshua is the ever-active spirit of prophecy, Revelation 12, 17, 19, and 10, then he had better forsake that and accept this. For he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. Likewise, says Yahshua, whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in the one point, he is guilty of all. James 2:10. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that that they may enter into the gates into the city, Revelation 22:14. If moreover, what such a one believes to be the spirit of prophecy is truly it, then his shouts they should have revealed the truth herein unfolded, thus what he accepts rather than what he accepts as the spirit of prophecy would have been confirmed and exalted. This brings in by step this hour, contact us at the 11th hour, call us number 11, check on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
How beautiful heaven must be. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths the Yahweh has forgiven. a beautiful heaven must be. A beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Der Hegel at rest for the weary. A beautiful heaven must be. The waters of laughter flowing, and all who are drinking the deep clean. The jewels of the splendor flowing, a beautiful heaven must be. A beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. A haven of rest for the weary. A beautiful heaven must be. For the angels are sweetly are singing. A death on a beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their glow hops are ringing. A beautiful heaven must be. A beautiful heaven must be. The home of the happy and free. Have faith in the rest of the